Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Every spring from time immemorial, from late February through early April, more than 500,000 sandhill cranes stop off in central Nebraska to refuel and rest before completing their annual northbound migration to Canada and the Arctic tundra. The Crane Trust was formed to protect the physical, hydrological, and biological integrity of the Big Bend area of the Platte River, the sandhill crane's temporary home. The Crane Trust owns or manages more than 10,000 acres of critical habitat. Among the Trust's numerous primary missions is the improvement of the wetlands and grasslands surrounding the Platte River by removing invasive weeds, clearing overgrowth, and restoration of native prairie. I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in Wood River, Nebraska, for a fascinating conversation with Bryce Crone, Senior Director at the Crane Trust.
I'm the senior director for the trust, so I oversee daily operations of all of our properties and our buildings and folks, and then I also help do a lot of the land management and prescribe fires on the property and help with grazing and work with the bison.
And give us a definition and parameters. What is the trust?
The trust is a nonprofit organization that was established in 1978 to help create and maintain the critical habitat needed for migratory birds, whooping cranes, sandhill cranes, and other water birds in the central flyway.
And here we are today watching the sandhill cranes rest up. How many are there? What is the total population of sandhill cranes?
Well, the best estimated guess is 578,000, so we always say 500 to 600,000 cranes, of which 90% of the population does come here and stage on their critical stopover for approximately a month.
Is it a growing population over the years, or is it declining?
It is definitely a growing population over the years. I think if you drew a line historically in the sand, the best guessed estimations were in the high 200,000s, and now we're in the, you know, the high 500,000s.
Over how long a period of time?
Over the last, you know, documented histories of humans.
So that's better than some species.
Yes, they're definitely living like a lot of other species are not at this time.
There's some pretty obvious answers as to their health, right, and why they're able to survive and thrive.
Yes, they've been able to adapt more than anybody else, which is, it's kind of interesting that here in recent times they've been used as a surrogate for the whooping cranes, but through the science it doesn't look like they're the best surrogate, but it was interesting to use those through trying to bring back the whooping cranes.
And then in almost a perverse way, the advent of man's interaction with them has in some degree been healthy for them. Corn, for example, the farmers.
I believe that has a lot to attribute to why the numbers are as high as they are now, the availability of food besides what they used to have, just macroinvertebrates now, to all the waste cranes.
Tell us a little bit more about what your passion, what you think is the most special, what makes you tick.
You know, I've always said that I'm definitely here for the resource. You know, I want to see the perpetuity of the critical habitat that was here before man had its say with it. Anything I can do to promote that for the well-being of humans themselves and their, you know, all the animals and all the way down to invertebrates. That's what drives me, and I think these sandhill cranes are a great PR representative for us. They actually bring in a lot of people to help educate them about the habitat itself.
So they're your ambassadors.
Absolutely.
You know, you have a knowledge base of the critical mission, the at-risk environmental issues. How do you teach that? How do you harness that energy in the population without alienating, and especially when you sometimes have to get governmental umbrella auspices to do your protection?
Well, I think the main focus is having good relationships with people, building great partnerships. For example, in the Platte River Valley, all the groups just talking about different ideas and what works and what doesn't. There's no perfect textbook on how to the work we're doing now is going to work in the future. And I think without collaboration, it would be a lot harder to have what you see here today.
Talk about some of your partnerships with regional and governmental agencies.
You know, everywhere from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to the Nature Conservancy to the Audubon to the Nebraska Game and Parks to just friends of the trust and volunteers, We all have great working relationships. We all want to do great things for the resource, and it's just we help do prescribed fire with each other. We share equipment when it comes to the disking of the river channels. And
talk about the disking of the river channels.
It's one of the most vital things we do for our work here. What it does is we take big tractors with rubber track machines on them with three-point discs, so they don't have wheels that go on the ground behind the tractor. And we get into the river channel between the high banks when the water's at its lowest points, and we take disc and we also use some heavy-duty brush hog cutters to cut trees down and brush, and then we disc it into the ground to mulch it and get all the vegetation off. And what it does is allows sand to move back around and formulate braided channels again.
I understand that that's a very expensive process.
It's very expensive and time-consuming. Yeah. We have a lot of breakdowns. It's really easy to say to get in there and just disc the river and not look back, but there's a lot of trees you drive over. There's in different areas, a lot of water to get through, and there's always stumbling blocks along the way. But in the end, it provides the best habitat for the roosting, migrating birds coming through our area.
Well, I think we're migrating right now.
My name is Bryce Crone. I'm the Senior Director for the Crane Trust, and for more information, please contact cranetrust.org.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wood River, Nebraska, where we've been visiting with Bryce Crone, Senior Director at the Crane Trust.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning, and Lauren Hayes is our technical assistant. Oh.